is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
New START Treaty, a remnant of the earlier years before the Ukraine conflict. You note that Vladimir Putin, in his Moscow speech, very bellicose, very aggressive speech to a nationally televised audience and to his lieutenants in the chamber, said that he was suspending or stepping aside or rejecting. The metaphors are frequent here. New START Treaty. What is it that Vladimir Putin wanted to mention that? Was it another rattle of the nuclear saber? Or does it speak to the inadequacy of the treaty because it's left over from before the Ukraine conflict? John Bolton, former national security advisor to the president of the United States, former ambassador to the United Nations, writing at the Washington Post about the New START Treaty. John, you never liked it. You don't like it now after Vladimir Putin steps out of it. What is it? What was New START? Good evening to you, John.
Good evening. Well, it's basically the last of the Cold War era strategic arms agreements from the strategic arms limitation talks of the Nixon administration forward. This is the last one negotiated and ratified in 2010 that put fixed limits on the deployable nuclear warheads of Russia and the United States. It was a bad treaty when it was written. It didn't take account of tactical nuclear weapons, in which Russia has a huge advantage. It only limited strategic weapons, that is to say, those designed to hit the opponent's homeland. It hasn't gotten any better with age. It doesn't deal with new technology like hypersonic cruise missiles. The Biden administration never should have extended it. But it has a kind of theological significance to the administration and to the arms control community as the last surviving agreement. And I think what was going on here was Putin trying to play another nuclear card, trying to make it look like he was putting this treaty in jeopardy as an effort to put pressure on Biden and his conduct of the war in Ukraine.
I want to approach it from the point of view of, was it adequate for the defense of NATO and our allies? As I recall, John, we have responsibilities that Russia never had, because we're offering nuclear umbrella protection to all the states that could go nuclear and have it. That would include South Korea and Japan. So New START was always inadequate, even as an antique. Is that correct, John?
Exactly. Russia right now has no treaty allies as such, whereas we have allies from Canada on the as close to us as you can get, to the United Kingdom and Europe, all the way to Japan. So we had global responsibilities. The Russians never did. They had only to defend themselves and to exert deterrence against us. But as you point out, we had responsibilities for what's called extended deterrence, that is to say, beyond the United States, in support of our allies, to protect our own security, to be sure, but also to limit the number of countries that develop nuclear weapons.
Recently, the National People's Congress, Xi Jinping, the General Secretary of the Communist Party, making remarks about China being surrounded and challenged at all parts, and that he doesn't like it and that he's going to be aggressive. Does that point to the nuclear weapons they're building very quickly, John? We believe those silos are going to be filled. They're not empty. And there was a report that they have as many deliverable nuclear ICBMs as, or maybe more than the U.S. has. Is that what Xi Jinping means by surrounded?
Well, he clearly is on a path to nuclear parity with the U.S. and Russia, to have as many deliverable warheads as we do. And that may not be for another 10 years, but in the nuclear field, 10 years is tomorrow. So in order to plan what our requirements are to deter in the future, not just to deter Russia, but to deter China as well, maybe simultaneously, maybe consecutively, we don't know. It's a new world. What Xi Jinping is trying to do is blame us for what he was already doing, that is to say, dramatically expanding his nuclear capabilities, and by the way, dramatically expanding his conventional capabilities too.
So we come to what is to be done. As I understand it, and you mentioned in your article Iran and North Korea, there are hostile nuclear-powered states. Moscow, yes. Tehran, potentially. They're boasting about how much they've enriched the uranium. And for heaven's sakes, Russia was the guarantor of the fissile material that Tehran has. That's a neat little package they've got. And then we have Pyongyang threatening to test again, and China building silos and perhaps ICBMs quickly. Do we need a treaty for all four of those states? And is that imaginable, John?
Well, I don't think it is imaginable with Iran and North Korea. You know, even during the Cold War, there were countries with relatively small amounts of nuclear weapons. China was one from the early 1960s, Britain and France, later Israel, Pakistan, India. There are a lot of countries with nuclear weapons, too many in my view. But our adversary was always primarily the Soviet Union. And it was not just a peer competitor in many respects, given the tactic. When you add tactical and strategic nuclear warheads, they had far more than we did. So from the macro level, what we're facing now are threats roughly comparable in short order to us from China and Russia. The others, Iran and North Korea, are severe problems because even a small number of nuclear warheads can make your day very unpleasant. And it was in part to deal with the rogue states like Iran, North Korea, Iraq at the time that George W. Bush withdrew from the 1972 anti-ballistic missile treaty in order to build national missile defense. One consequence of China's buildup is we need to decide, and I think pretty quickly, whether we want to go beyond defending against a limited number of incoming missiles from rogue states and try and make that missile defense system something more like Ronald Reagan had in mind during his administration, something that would protect us against nuclear attack, not just from rogue states with handfuls of nuclear warheads, but from the likes of Russia and China.
I think it is accurate to say that the New START Treaty and its predecessors did not deal with tactical nuclear weapons, which is the weapon of choice that Vladimir Putin likes to rattle at us. Is that possible to bring in tactical nuclear weapons in a discussion with China and Russia?
Well, I think we certainly should. And when you come to China, you know, we all appropriately talk about the threat of ICBMs, missiles that can reach across oceans and continents. Let's not forget, China already has the largest arsenal of intermediate range ballistic missiles in the world. They were never bound by the INF treaty that Russia and the United States were bound by, that the U.S. withdrew from in 2019. So China's got delivery capabilities that if it could move outside of China, if it could launch from ships, for example, or submarines, it would already be a peer competitor of the United States. So this is an extraordinarily complex situation. We've never faced this number of nuclear weapons from two adversaries simultaneously. We've always been facing a bipolar nuclear standoff. Now we're in a new world, a tripolar nuclear world.
John, when we were younger, when the world was younger, we had a library of experts in the U.S. and in Russia to negotiate over nuclear weapons, to in some fashion move the clock back from midnight. Do we still have a group of men and women who can do this, John, or is that all gone?
Well, it's almost a lost art, but even worse than not having the negotiators, we don't have the brain power that over long nights and many disputes worked out deterrence theory. We don't have an Edward Teller, a Herman Kahn, a Robert Alberta Wohlstedt, or the Hitchin McKeans, the Thomas Schellings, whose intellectual contribution to keeping us safe has never been adequately recognized. Not that they always agreed with each other, often they didn't. That was the source of tension that gave us some confidence in our deterrence theories. But all of those were in the bipolar context. We need a new generation of nuclear theorists who can figure out how to get deterrence and defense levels set at levels and deployments that can make us confident we're going to be safe for a long time to come.
John Bolton, writing at the Washington Post. He's the author of The Room Where It Happened, a White House memoir. I'm John Bachelor.